A lot of people out, huh? Well, it's a joy to see you this morning and to have this opportunity on a cold, windy day. Makes me glad I'm not out on the plains anymore. Wow, that wind is brutal. But we praise God for a new day. This is the day the Lord has made. Amen. And the honor to come and during this Christmas season continue our celebration and to worship our Lord who loves us dearly. Well, an important meeting going on today, and our chairman, Mike Tiener, has some words to share about that.
Good morning. Thank you all. I just want to remind you that we have our voters meeting directly after this service, and it's a very important one. So, as you know, we have some projects going on over at the school that need to get done. That requires funding. And so what we have is the approval of a refinancing on our loan. We have been approved by LCEF, so now we're going to need your approval to make that happen. And just give everybody an idea, answer any questions that you have, and then we don't have any numbers, unfortunately, today on the school project itself, but we will be keeping up to date. But we do want to finalize the loan so we know where our budget is and how far we can go forward. So just please stick around after service. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mike. Just a reminder, this Tuesday, New Year's Eve day evening, we'll have worship at 5 o'clock, and we hope that you can come back and join us for that, a wonderful way to kick off the new year and prepare our hearts and minds for the unknowns of a year before us, unknown to us, but not unknown to God. And so, 5 o'clock this coming Tuesday evening. Well, the order of worship that we follow this morning, it's all presented on the screen, but if you want to follow along in the hymnals, it's Divine Setting 4, and we begin with the opening hymn. Our God before His glorious throne. Today He opens heaven again. And we are blessed again by God's grace to gather in His name this day as we come united in faith to worship together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sin, O Lord, who could stand? And since we have gathered to hear God's word, call upon Him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us then take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And we just take a moment in silence for personal confession. And we confess publicly together, Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. And Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our responsive psalm for this first Sunday after Christmas is Psalm 111. Praise the Lord, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. Great are the works of the Lord,
studied by all who delight in them.
Full of splendor and majesty is his work,
and his righteousness endures forever.
He has caused his wondrous works to be remembered.
The Lord is gracious and merciful.
He provides food for those who fear him.
He remembers his covenant forever.
He has shown his people the power of his works. The works of his hands are faithful and just.
All his precepts are trustworthy.
They are established forever and ever.
To be performed with faithfulness and uprightness.
He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever.
Holy and awesome is his name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding.
His praise endures.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. With you,
and also with you.
And let us pray. O God, our Maker and Redeemer, You wonderfully created us and in the incarnation of your Son, yet more wondrously restored our human nature. Grant that we may ever be alive in him who made himself to be like us through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
At this time, you may be seated as we continue now with our scripture readings for today.
The Old Testament reading for this first Sunday after Christmas is from Isaiah 63rd chapter, the 7th verse. I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness to the house of Israel, that he has granted them according to his compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. Therefore he turned to be their enemy, and himself fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old, of Moses and his people. Where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he who put in the midst of them his Holy Spirit, who caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses, who divided the waters before them to make for himself an everlasting name, who led them through the depths? Like a horse in the desert, they did not stumble. Like livestock that go down into the valley, the Spirit of the Lord gave them rest. So you led your people to make for yourself a glorious name. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from Galatians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel for this first Sunday after Christmas is the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 2nd chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The flight to Egypt. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night, and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, Out of Egypt I called my son. And Herod kills the children. Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem, and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation. Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. And then our Lord returns to Nazareth. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Rise and take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who sought to the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, that what was spoken by the prophet might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene. And this is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
At this time, then, we are honored to make confession of our Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all the worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated now as we continue with our sermon song.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'd like us to consider the opening words to the Old Testament reading from the prophet Isaiah chapter 63. And I'm going to reread the first couple verses of this text. And it's really a prayer, and it's the beginning of a prayer where Isaiah is asking the Lord to bring about the redemption that he has promised. And it's in light of and in the midst of great rebellion among God's people of that day. But here's how this prayer begins. I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us, and the great goodness to the house of Israel, that he has granted them according to his compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely, and he became their Savior. But I want us to think about the opening words of this prayer. What a call upon us as God's people to live in this spirit and this truth every day. I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord. I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord. You have my word. Have you ever heard that said before? You have my word. And you know, when you hear somebody say that to you or hear it said to me, we can receive it kind of in a skeptical way, because people are not always upfront and honest with that word, right? We live in a sinful world. We have sinful lives. We live in a world of broken promises and empty vows. And many pledges are made only to be forgotten. Assurances are given and then they're ignored. Words can be spoken with great fanfare. Things like, oh, I'll always love you. Or now we hear it through the internet, through social media. We're BFFL. Do you know what that stands for? Best friends for life. I have to look some of these up once in a while to figure out what they are. Or somebody will say, well, you can count on me. Or how about this one? Till death do us part. But you know, words can be like autumn leaves in November, or dare I say, December winds. And that's why we're kind of a bit skeptical when someone says, you have my word. But it's different when God speaks. How about the very first words of Scripture? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. What does God do? God speaks. He says, let there be light, and there was light. And when God speaks his word, it's just not mere talk about something, but God actually does what he says. We have his word. And what a powerful word. You know, consider these verses that extol the power of God's word from this same prophet Isaiah. For instance, in chapter 40, we hear, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but what? The word of our God stands forever. Or Isaiah again in chapter 55, my word will not return to me empty. The most powerful force in the world, literally, is God's word. It's God's word, isn't it, that called Abraham from Ur in the land of the Chaldeans. It's God's word that spoke to Moses from a burning bush. It's God's word that gave manna and quail in the wilderness. It's God's word that thundered from Mount Sinai and spoke to Elijah in a still, small voice. God's word even made dry bones come to life. Standing on their feet is a vast army. And you can just ask Ezekiel about that, who God revealed that to. God said it, and that settles it. Faith believes it, We have His Word. We have God's Word. And we are so very blessed. You know, God's Word is more than an element of speech in an ink mark or a sound or an idea. In fact, God's creative Word says, "Let there be light." God's creative Word proclaims that the Word became flesh, right? And dwelt among us. And that's what John writes today, or that's what John writes in his gospel in chapter 1. We hear the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And you know, John could have written, "The Word became a body," or "The Word became a man." He might have said, "The Word became a person," or "The Word became a human being." But instead, he writes, "The Word became flesh." Very significant. You know, when that term was connected with the idea of gods in the sophisticated Greek and Roman world of the day, they would recoil from any connection to the flesh. In fact, flesh to them was doomed to be destroyed. The last thing you would want to do as a god is take on flesh, because you are spirit and flesh is worth nothing. No god in his right mind would ever deal with anything as degrading as flesh. And yet, isn't this what we celebrate? This Christmas season is exactly what our God did. The Word became flesh. And you know, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we are blessed to know that the Word, the Son of God, God's Son who became flesh, He is with us now and for eternity, as He promises, "I am with you always." Oh, we recount the steadfast love, don't we? The steadfast love of the Lord, who becomes our Savior, as Isaiah prophesies in this great prayer. The Word who became flesh came in no ordinary way either, right? But came as a baby cradled in Mary's arms. He saw the first ray of sunlight at creation and heard the first crash of a wave when God gathered the sea waters together in creation to form the oceans. There the Word was with God, and the Word was God, we hear in Scripture. Did you catch that? The Word was God. The same God who said, "Let there be light," became flesh in the body of a Jewish peasant girl named Mary. It's amazing as we recount what God has done. The Word, though, didn't change into flesh. The Word didn't morph into flesh. The Word didn't transition into flesh. This isn't what John writes. If the Word changed, morphed, or transitioned into flesh, He would no longer be God, right? But remaining what He was, Christ Jesus became what we are. What an incredible revelation from God. Remaining what He was, God, Christ, became what we are, flesh. And so in the Gospels, this point is brought home clearly to us as we follow the accounts of Jesus being led to trial before Pilate. And Pilate has Jesus' flesh torn and dressed in purple and crowned with thorns. And then he brings Jesus before the crowd, doesn't he? And remember what Pilate said? "Behold the man. Behold the man. Here is the man, flesh and blood, a beaten body." And this is God we are talking about. The God who is dismissed, demeaned, and left for dead, but not for long. Oh, we recount the steadfast love of the Lord who became our Savior. Isaiah says that God's Word endures forever, and it accompanies that, or accomplishes that for which God sent it. God's Word defeats the darkness. God's Word defeats death. John outruns Peter to the tomb, looks in, and believes. Jesus says, "Mary," and Mary Magdalene cries out, "Rabboni." The Emmaus disciples recognized, the risen Christ in the breaking of the bread. And when he sees the Savior's flesh marked with scars, Thomas exclaims, "My Lord and my God." Sin is forgiven. Death is defeated. The grave is defeated. Death is dead. Think about, as we recount, how blessed we are. We recount the steadfast love of our Lord who became our Savior. You know, funeral eulogies often include phrases like this: "She'll always live on in my heart," or "I'll remember him forever." Do you realize the disciples didn't say that with reference to Jesus? The disciples never said that. That's because they saw Jesus in the flesh, flesh marked with scars, and yes, we have God's living word. "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ," as Paul writes in 2 Corinthians. Well, here's a question. What interferes then in your life? And I ask myself the same question. What interferes in your life to steer you away from recounting God's steadfast love and revealed in the most amazing way of the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among us? And what gets in the way to interfere with the rejoicing that God would want us to have, knowing and trusting and believing that Jesus remains our Savior? Well, maybe it's a missed opportunity in life for our students. Maybe it's a flunked exam. Or maybe it's a marriage that is in trouble. Maybe it's a relationship that is broken. Maybe it's going through the grieving process, losing a spouse. Just before services, we were talking about, you know, how memorable deaths are when they happen right around Christmas or other special days of the year. Or maybe it's making a bad decision, and we've all done that. Or maybe it's something so bad that you feel as though you are damned before God forever. Well, Jesus is the solution. He is the solution for every kind of trouble. And I'll say it again, Jesus is the solution for every kind of trouble. He's the one that breaks into whatever the interference is that would love to separate us from him, and he restores to us life. In John chapter 8, our Savior says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever walks in darkness will have the light of life." This is our Savior. This is our Lord. This is the one that we recount his steadfast love. But did you hear it? In John 8, includes one of the most wonderful pronouns in the Bible. Listen to it again. "I am the light of the world. Whoever walks in the darkness will have the light of life." Whoever. After all, who isn't a whoever? When we feel as though God's light isn't for us, when we feel like our sin is too great for God's forgiveness, we have God's word and that wonderful pronoun, whoever. Well, what are we doing right now? We're recounting God's steadfast love, aren't we? Praise God that not only do we do that in worship together, but this becomes a celebration daily, ongoing in our lives as we recount that Jesus came for whoever. And that's very significant. Think about it in light of maybe your Christmas celebration, and you could think about smelling some of those wonderful foods in the kitchen. Maybe it's a pie, like Holly baked us a pecan pie, and oh, did that ever smell good? Well, you know, you're there with your fork, and you're at home, and you're ready to eat it, and then the cook, most likely your wife, comes out from the kitchen, and she says it's for someone at the church. Don't touch this pie. Don't touch it. Or it's for a friend. Stay away. This is a gift I'm giving to someone else. But oh, isn't it wonderful when whoever baked the pie comes out of the kitchen and says, it's for whoever. Boy, then we dig in, don't we? Because we know whoever is all inclusive. And whoever's are welcome by the grace of God. And you know, when you think about it, whoever also means whenever. And whenever, it's never too late to live in the light of God's love. God's love is in our midst, ongoing. And whoever also means however. However broken you are, however messed up our lives may be, God affirms to us that He loves you and me. Isaiah, in a prayer in the midst of absolute rebellion, affirms and recounts how steadfast God's love truly is. Wherever you are not too far from that steadfast love. We lose so much, don't we, in life? We lose jobs and opportunities. We lose friendship and help. We lose hopes and dreams. We lose health. We lose so much in a sin-corrupted world. But here's the good news. We will never, ever lose our place on God's whoever list. Isn't that awesome? Talk about recounting God's steadfast love. Jesus says, again, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Well, what does all this mean? It's God's announcement to the world. It's God's announcement to you and me individually that no shame is too late or too deep. No hour is too late. No place is too far away. However, whenever, wherever, whoever, and that includes us forever. Let there be light, and there was light. That light that shone out from the manger shines on us. We have God's word. And that word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, knowing God's steadfast love as He's revealed it to us over and over again, but the most incredible way as we see the gospel visually before us in the manger and the cross, may each of us approach every moment of life in the spirit of recounting the steadfast love of our Lord and celebrating that He remains to be our Savior. That's living in the spirit, in the truth, and the reality of Christmas every moment of every day of our lives. Merry Christmas. In His name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And dear friends in Christ, I would invite everyone, if you're able, to stand as we confidently then, knowing God's grace, knowing His steadfast love, approach the Almighty God in prayer as He encourages us even to do so. And let us pray. Oh, dear Lord God, we pray that You would guard and protect us from anything that would try to wedge itself between us and You and the joy and the celebration and the recounting of Your steadfast love that is unchanging and everlasting. Lord, You know the brokenness of this world. You know the brokenness of our lives, that we still have that sinful flesh that is hanging around that loves to intervene and try to bring doubt and take away the joy in our lives and try to get us to run away from Your truth or to doubt it. Lord, we thank You that you give us your means of grace. As even as we gather and worship today, we are able to hear your word read and proclaimed and able to feast at your table. And through these means, Lord, you continue to nurture and strengthen our faith. Enable us, Lord, to recall our baptisms and know that you have declared us, you have called us by name to be your precious children. When Satan wants to create doubt in our hearts and lives about your love for us, Lord, may we announce ever so boldly to Satan the baptism that is ours now and for eternity. Lord, we thank you for your blessings, that you do not leave us alone and destitute to fend for ourselves, but you are always in the midst of our lives. And Lord, you provide your means of grace. You provide fellowship with other believers that we may walk arm in arm in the faith and encourage and cheer one another on. Lord, we thank you for this incredible season. We thank you for the honor to be here today again to worship you united as one in faith. O Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we thank you for all of the mission work that goes on in this land and throughout the world. And here locally today, Lord, we thank you for the radio broadcast that Trinity is able to do as an outreach, not only to Greeley, but to really a tri-state area that can hear KFKA. Lord, we pray your continued blessings upon your word as it is read and proclaimed over the airways. And we also celebrate the Lutheran Hour ministries that are sponsored by Trinity in this local area. And Lord, the Lutheran Hour reaching over 1,800 stations in America and broadcast on the American Forces Network. Your word is going out to literally thousands upon thousands of people every week. And Lord, we pray that as people hear the word, that there would be those who are brought to faith and those who already believe, that their faith would be strengthened and encouraged. Lord, we pray your blessings on all mission efforts that are faithful to your true word. O Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we have quite a list of names in the bulletin this morning in the prayer section, and you know each one of these, your precious children, and what they deal with. Lord, we especially hold up to you John Long, who had episodes of passing out, was hospitalized, is back home again doing better. We thank you for that. Lord, for Ruth McKay, who fell and possibly broke her wrist, it's going to be determined after the first of the year, but in a splint right now. Lord, for Marianne Fumick, who is usually here with us in worship, but now is going through rehab. Lord, be with these and all mentioned in our list here this morning. We add to that Cody Schmidt, as Cody, just 3 years old, battling cancer in his life, goes in tomorrow for his third round of chemo. Lord, we just thank you for protecting this little guy through all that he has been through. And we pray, Lord, that you would work your miracles of healing through the medical world that works with him. Use them as your instruments of care and comfort and healing in his life and in the lives of all the names that are listed. O Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we rejoice and give thanks and praise for the blessings you bestow upon Steve and Phyllis Klug as they celebrate their 49th wedding anniversary. Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you bestow upon this couple and the blessings that you bring to so many of us through them. Lord, continue to be with Steve and Phyllis. Surround them with your love, that their love may grow all the stronger. And we pray, Lord, you grant them many more years of life together as one. O Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for the leaders of this nation and leaders of nations of the world. We pray, Lord, that they would be humbled, that they would recognize you as the one who is ultimately in control of all things, that you are the one who is all wise. And Lord, in the complexity of the world's problems, that they would submit themselves to turning to you and seeking your will and direction. Lord, on a much smaller scale here at Trinity this morning, as we have our voters meeting, we pray that you would be among us, and we know that you are, but that we would recognize your presence, Lord, and that we would humbly seek your will in the decisions that may be made at this meeting. Oh, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we just thank you for the joy that you bring to our lives. May we go forth and give clear testimony to the marvelous work that you have accomplished, that just through our demeanor, others will see in us something uniquely different from the unbelieving world. And Lord, when we have opportunity to share your truth, give us the words to speak, the courage and the boldness to do so. And Lord, we just thank you to be in that honorable position. We ask all of this in your precious name, Jesus, asking your will to be done. Amen. You may be seated, and we continue with the offering. Invite the congregation to stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, God of Sabaoth adored, heaven and earth with full acclaim, shout the glory of your name, sing Hosanna to the highest, sing Hosanna to the Lord, truly blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. O blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation. For you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, after he had supped, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
And I invite the congregation to stand. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. Amen. Go now in God's peace and serve the Lord.